I want to read with you two very short portions of God's Word. The first you will find over in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel at the chapter 6. Sixth chapter of Matthew's Gospel. The verse 9 of chapter 6. We'll read it together, just the short portion about the Lord's Prayer. Verse 9 of Matthew 6. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, forever. Amen. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then turning over to the 11th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel at the chapter 11. And verse 1, 2, and 3, and 4, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God will put his seal of approval upon this reading of his word. It was Thomas Watson, the great Puritan, who said, prayer is the gun we shoot with. Fervency is the fire that discharges the gun. And faith is the bullet which pierces the throne of grace. We should all be eager to become the greatest shot in town. Some time ago, my daughter Rhonda drew a pencil sketch of me. I thought it was a very good sketch of me, for it flattered me. So I had it framed, and I'm up in my bedroom, and when I open my eyes in the morning, I see this creature staring at me. So Eileen usually looks at it in the morning as well, so I put up over her photograph these words, the best shot in all the world. And the woman folk can take that to heart. We should all be eager to be the best shot as far as prayer is concerned. No good thing will God withhold from them that walk uprightly. The words of the Lord's Prayer are outstanding and very unique. Ask yourself one question as you look at the Lord's Prayer. How many petitions does the Lord's Prayer not mention? Do you ever think about that? How many petitions of much importance are not mentioned in the Lord's Prayer at all? At first glance, we will surely be struck by the many things which we should be seeking in prayer, that receive no mention here at all. Ponder in your own heart why. You will soon discover that it is not the whole practices of prayer which are considered in this, the Lord's Prayer, but rather the whole principles which are the foundations of successful prayer. Compare the two passages which we read today, one in Matthew and one in Luke, and you will see that that prayer is the answer to a request made by an impressed disciple who saw the Lord pray. And he was so shaken by the way the Lord prayed, he said, "Lord, teach me to pray." If we were often in the presence of Christ, whoever liveth to make intercession for his saints, then we would be like the man who said, "Lord, teach us to pray." This prayer, of course, starts with the hearer of prayer, "Our Father, which art in heaven." The Father is the great hearer of prayer. In fact, that is one of his titles in the Old Testament scriptures. It is mainly to God the Father our prayers are offered. They are offered in the authority and sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they are offered by the inspiration and enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. It is scriptural to pray to the Son. It is scriptural to pray for the Holy Ghost. And if you mark the scriptures, you will find the prayers prayed to Jesus and the prayers prayed to the Holy Spirit. But generally, prayers are directed to the one who takes the grand title, the hearer of prayer. Secondly, notice the holiness of prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is the most holy act that a Christian man or woman can engage in. God the Father, the hearer of prayer, is the holy Father of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. The promises we plead are holy. The end we wish to give is holy. The task of prayer is holy. Every part of the exercise of prayer is in the holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thirdly, notice the hope of prayer. Thy kingdom come. When we look out over this world and see how far it is removed from the laws, the commandments, and the obedience of the kingdom of God, we say, is there a hope that God's kingdom will come? Yes, God's kingdom will come. And the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign. We pray with a hope burning like a mighty fire within our heart. Note fourthly, the height of prayer. Prayer takes us to the height of heights. To heaven itself. And prayer says, "Thy will be done down here on earth as it is done at this moment in heaven." What a prayer to pray. That as heaven is in its holiness, in its the manifestation of the presence of the Holy Trinity. Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Is that your vision when you pray? The true vision, the true end of all true praying carries us to the height of heaven. Prayer is a perpetual miracle of faith which reproduces miracles on earth. Then look fifthly at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Christ's hand will move us to pray this because we will be hungry and prayer will be the unburdening of the hunger of our soul. A hunger for the bread of life. Oh, may our spirits be. Do you go to prayer because you're hungry? It's the one that's hungry will get the bread. It's the one that's hungry will get the bread. Give us this day our daily bread. There are two examples of bread as a type in the Old Testament. The manna. You didn't go and get your goods in through the manna in a week. You got them day by day, except when you came to the Lord's Day. And then you had to take twice the amount because you didn't get any manna on the Lord's Day. The manna was supplied on the other days, the other 6 days, but not on the seventh day. Give us this day our daily bread. The other example is in the tabernacle and in the temple, the table of showbread. And the showbread was changed every day. Fresh bread was put on the table every day. And what is more, the table was never without bread. If you read the instructions from the priest, he wasn't to go in and take the 12 loaves off the table and leave it empty, and then bring in 12 new loaves and put them on the table. He was only allowed to take off the loaves one by one and put a new loaf in the place of the one he had taken off. For God's bread table, hallelujah, is always filled. And it's not filled with stale bread. It's filled with fresh bread. The best that Brother Fitzsimons could bake for us. Let me say to you today, let's get to the table of the fresh bread. There's a lot of Christians eating stale bread. And that's why they have no stomach for the battle. But if you get the bread that's put on the table every day, that's the bread that will give life to your soul. Then notice the humbling of prayer. The man who comes to pray, he sees himself as a sinner. And he says, I need cleansing. There are people that tell us we never need to ask the Lord to cleanse afresh in the precious blood. But here the man prays every day, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are in debt to us. No prayer is answered if sin is not confessed. And then we have the honesty of prayer. The man who's praying can look up into God's face and he can say, forgive me, for I have given those who are forgiven those who are indebted to me. Except we can look God in the face and be able to declare we have forgiven our debtors, God's ear will never, never hear our prayers. Notice this is the only part of the Lord's Prayer that is clarified by Christ and explained. Verses 14 and 15. "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Is this not plain enough? Downright honesty is demanded. Infinitely, the help of prayer, lead us not into temptation. It's only by prayer that we can get the victory. When you read the 6th chapter of Ephesians, and the Christian has the whole armor of God on him, that's not the end of the story. There is one weapon that is left. It's the weapon of all-powerful praying. And at the end of the story of the armor, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Yet, yes, it is prayer. Mighty, prevailing prayer. Then notice, ninthly, we have the hammer of prayer. What a mighty hammer prayer is. "Deliver us from evil." Prayer is the great hammer that smashes the satanic rock in pieces. If we get to the devil with this hammer, his power will be smashed and broken, and he will flee away. And last of all, the honor of prayer. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Prayer will be honored. The kingdom and the power and the glory shall be demonstrated amongst us. And then when you make your prayer, don't sign your own name to your prayer. Sign the name of the Savior to your prayer. This amen, you know, is the title of Christ. Christ says, "Put my name on the prayer, please. Put my name on the prayer." And if you turn over to Revelation 3:14, you'll read there, "These things saith the Amen." Christ's signature on every prayer. Do you ever ask yourself the question after you pray, could I genuinely put the signature of the Savior on my prayer? May God bless these remarks to our hearts, and may we all say from our hearts, "Lord, teach me to pray."